Amen? So good morning. We're going to be in Matthew. So if you're new and if you're visiting with us, we've been going through the book of Matthew. Chapter by chapter, verse by verse. And last week we skipped because we had homecoming. That was wonderful. We had a great homecoming. Eat good. Fellowship. Had a good time. All right, Matthew chapter 6. Verses 19 through 24. Now, for you guys that are visiting, next month, praise the Lord, next month, the third weekend, Lynn and I will be here 5 years. Isn't that cool? It's been 5 years. And I've never preached a message on money. I try not to do that. I don't want to be that guy, you know. But I could be wrong or right. I don't know. It's just the way the Lord's put it on my heart. But this morning, we're going to talk about money. We're going to talk about finances. And the reason is, Jesus talked about it. And that's where we're at in chapter 6, verse 19 to 24. If you were here, you know, a couple weeks ago, we talked about a few verses right before that. We were talking about fasting and how to fast and the right kind of fast and that kind of thing. So if you're taking notes, we're going to be talking about finances and money and that sort of thing. Amen? Everybody good? So when Jesus talks about it, I got to talk about it too, because that's what we're going to do. We're going to preach through the Word. All right, so let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for the beautiful weather. Thank you for the folks that are here. Folks that are not here, Lord, we pray for them as they're running around visiting family and vacationing and doing different things. And some folks may be staying home to be safe, and that's fine, perfectly fine. Yep. And we just love you, as always, Lord. I try to pray for our missionaries around the world and for our military, protecting us, keeping us safe around the world. And, Lord, again, let's just remember our country from the leaders, top leaders all the way down. We love you, Lord. Help me teach this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Everybody say amen real loud.
Amen.
It helps me a little bit. All right, so Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 24. Let's read it. I've got the ESV version today. It says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." Everybody said amen? Amen. So, throughout this message, I want you to understand, I don't think God really is that concerned whether you save money for your retirement, you know, put money away for when you get old, make wise investments. All that, I think, is good basic stewardship of what God gives us. So no way am I talking about, you know, you don't need to have any money. Amen? You know, as an old motivational speaker once said, called Zig Ziglar, anybody familiar with him? Remember him? He said, "Money is not the most important thing in the world, but it does rank up there with oxygen." Good old Zig, bless his heart. We must be sure. Now, last week, remember, we talked about fasting and all that, and it leads into this message here. But we must be sure our giving is producing the best return on our investment. Okay? Remember last week we talked about the treasures, eternal treasures? We are accumulating eternal treasures. Now, some folks don't like to look at it as investments or a return, those kind of things. And the main reason is because they still think that these scriptures are talking about money. It's not. Remember last week? I'm just going to refer to last week as the week that I taught before this. Okay? But really, these eternal treasures has nothing to do with money. Has everything to do with souls being saved, marriages being mended, children being reconciled to their parents, right? It's about love and compassion and helping one another. All these are the eternal treasures that we store up in heaven. And we're going to talk more about this later. Jesus says in verse 19, he says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal." Now, I started thinking, well, what about this word treasures? So, anybody familiar with a visual thesaurus on your computer? If you don't, it's really cool, okay? Blue Letter Bible, Greek and Hebrew, it's called a visual thesaurus. It's pretty cool. It takes the words, and I'd love to do word studies and that sort of thing. Check it out. It's free on the computer. The word translated treasures is the word from which we get our word thesaurus. It really means the treasury of words. Okay? So when it's talking, we're using this word treasure here, treasury, it's like, what do you treasure? What is valuable to you? What do you consider to be worthy? You'll see where this is going? It's getting deeper. It's not talking about gold and silver and, you know, stocks and bonds and mutual funds and all these other things. You know, artwork, collectibles, all these different things. That's not what it's talking about here. It's like, what do you treasure? What do you consider to be worthy, valuable, those kind of things? There's an old saying. Okay, here's the old saying. You can't. Oh, and I looked up the old sayings we're talking about Wednesday night. I got to talk to you later, Jason. Pete was here. I'll dog him out, but he's a nursery, right? Or something? Yeah. Okay, so here's the old saying. You can't take it with you. Everybody heard that before? Oh, you can't take it with you. That's true, yes. But you can send it ahead. But you can send it ahead. So how do you do that? See, we're not talking again about physical things. We're not talking about gold and silver and artwork, right? The things that we hoard and collect that some people do. But we can send it ahead. So we'll talk about that in a minute. Matthew chapter 6, verse 20. Again, it says, "But lay up for yourselves." See, it just told us not to do this. Now it's telling us, and however, but, everybody say but. Okay, yeah. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. So, laying it up. Lay it up here. Lay it up on this shelf right here. Lay it like this. This is, whoa, lay it up. Okay? Laying up treasures in heaven is really about tithes, offerings, and gifts. So that's what we're going to talk about for a few minutes here. Tithes, offerings, and gifts. Now I'm just going to preach the word here, so, amen? Like Bonnie says, I'm not going to apologize, so I caught myself. Thank you. Please understand, tithing should not be ignored. Offerings are really expected. And gifts are a privilege. It's a privilege to be able to have a little bit of abundance in order to help someone else to meet a need, right? The tithing is expected, and offerings are expected. A tithe is giving a tenth of your income back to God through the local church. Now, many Christians give their tithes on their net income. Many Christians give their tithes on their gross income. Should you give your tithes on net or gross? Here's what I believe about that. I encourage you to seek out godly counsel from older, mature Christians and get their thoughts and their opinions on this subject right here. And then I encourage you to pray, because I really believe that's a decision between you and God. So you pray about whether you give your tithes on your net or your offerings. I don't think anybody has that really figured out. But I really do think you should seek advice on that, and then you should talk to the Lord and ask Him what you should do. But I believe this is a personal decision, very personal. The Bible clearly teaches that we should give our tithe to the local church. God says if you don't tithe, you have robbed Him. That's not me trying to make you feel bad, right? If you don't tithe. But this is the Bible saying you robbed Him. Now, what is the difference between stealing and robbing? Stealing is theft or wrongful taking and carrying away of the goods or property of another. Now, really think about this. Okay? You steal when the owner isn't looking or isn't, you know, he's away, he's absent. A person could go over to my house and steal my lawnmower when I'm not there. That's stealing. Robbing, as the Bible talks about, robbing is totally different. It is taking the property of another in their immediate presence. I got robbed at Popeye's Chicken one time on the south side of town, Ashley Street. Remember when Popeye's was there? I think it's a hip-hop chicken now, right? Lynn and I are in Lake Park. One night, we're coming back to town and coming up that way, you know. And I was like, man, that Popeye's Chicken sounds good. So I run in, popped in, jumped out of the car. You remember that? Oh, about 20 years ago, probably. Got out, jumped out of the car, went through the parking lot, and there's an old man standing there, skinny old man, drunk as a skunk, had his knife out. He was doing this. Just give me all the money in your pocket. Now, 20 years ago, I think I could have put the old man down and, you know, and called the police. Who knows? He might have had some kind of crazy drugs in him, you know, cut me or something. So I reached my pocket. I knew I had a 20. And I gave him the 20. He took the 20 and walked on. Went out. I got back in the car and got home. But that was personal. He robbed me personally. Does that make sense? So that's the difference between stealing and robbing. When we don't tithe, we are not stealing from God. We are robbing God. This means we are keeping His money while we are in His presence. He's there. He's looking at us. He's with us. This is what the Bible says now. Amen? What is the difference between tithes and offerings? Putting this all together, I thought, well, I'm preaching to the choir, but I don't know, right? This could change someone's life. I remember Glenn and I having conversations about, I'm not trying to tell his personal business, but I guess I am. When we all first started learning about tithing, it changed our life, you know. It really did. You know, at the beginning, you know, a long, long time ago, I was like, I don't know about this tithing thing. You know, I don't know if we can afford it. And Lynn was the one of the real faith, you know. She was like, no, this is what we want to do. And I still had to get my heart right. You know, it wasn't like I need to pay my tithes. Try not to use that word pay, like, you know. I had to get my heart right. This is a long time ago. I had to get my heart right to where I wanted to. It was my privilege. I love God. You know, I was just, you know, and then when we started doing that, it changed, didn't it? Everything, financially, everything just changed in our life. Still have a little, you know, ups and downs there, like everybody, right? But it really did change. So what's the difference between tithes and offerings? Offerings are what you give in addition to your tithe. It's a way for us to give from our abundance. Amen? So that's offerings is what we give from our little bit of our abundance. I love that word abundance. You know, the Bible says the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but God comes to give life and life more abundant. And I've kind of prayed that with our life is I don't care about being rich or wealthy. That's God. That's God's business whether I become rich or wealthy. Amen? Deuteronomy, yes, is God's the one that gives power to gain wealth. And but I just want a little abundance. You know, I'll give you an example. Like if your household income completely, like everything combined, say is $1,000 a month. Don't know anybody like that, but just an example to be silly and easy. Say your whole household budget's $1,000 a month. Then that household budget includes the tithe, right? And then let's say it's $1,000 and you're bringing in $1,500. So you got $500 there of abundance, of extra money that you can maybe give an offering or maybe even a gift later. You can get the kids a little something extra. You know, you can do things with that. You can listen to the Lord and ask Him what you'd like to do with that extra $500 a month. That's that abundance. And I think as Christians, that will be a good goal, you know, to try to have a little abundance. Amen? I had a friend one time, still friends, I hadn't seen him in a long time. He prayed and asked God. It's a true story. He prayed and asked God. He said, Lord, you know, he started understanding tithes, really. He said, Lord, he said, if you'll bless my business, he had a business in Jacksonville, Florida. He said, if you'll bless my business, he said, I give you my word. He's talking to the Lord. He said, I give you my word that I will eventually live on 10% and I'll give you 90%. I said, whew. And you know what? That actually really happened. God blessed his business. God knew that he could trust him with little, and then he knew he could start trusting him more and more, and God knew from his actions that God could trust him with a whole bunch. The last time I talked to him, Lynn and I talked to him, his 10% was about $250,000 a year. I could handle that, couldn't you? You know? But think about the 90% they give away. I mean, I used to talk to him about all the things he did, supporting missionaries, digging wells in foreign countries, and flying over China with a plane that he bought that they let out Bibles in places they didn't let Bibles, let them out in the air, and just all kind of stuff. But God knew he could trust him with that. And God blessed him. God caused him to be rich or wealthy. Make sense? Big difference. Big difference. I'll give you an example. If you want to give to missions, that should not be deducted from your tithe. Remember, tithe goes to the local church. An offering could be anything, listen closely to this one, an offering could be anything that supports the spreading of the gospel and or meeting a need. Okay, the offering, you know, take up an offering. You know, an offering that we give above tithes should really be focused on spreading the gospel, ever how that comes about, or meeting a need. Right? There's a need in the church, you know, spreading the gospel. You know, Annie Armstrong, foreign missionaries that come in, local ministries, you know, whatever it is. If they're spreading the gospel, you know, the Christmas box, all that stuff. You know, those are offerings and that should be, that's precious to me. Anybody love giving offerings? Do you? Raise your hand if you enjoy giving offerings. Y'all don't give offerings? Are you still embarrassed because you think it's about money? Think about what I just said now. It's kind of like a mindset, you know. If you're still trapped in that money thing, you know, I want to brag about the money, I'm about money, money. It's not about the money. Okay? An offering is not just switching from giving to your church to the special need. Try not to ever give in to that thing of like, well, man, I'd love to be able to give to that. I think I'll just not pay my tithe this week and I'll give to that. Now, if that's something you heard from God, who am I to question that? But it's not too biblical. Make sense? So be careful of that, you know. Sometimes we can get into our flesh and we want to, you know, man, I really want to, you know, do this or that. Pray and ask God to give you that abundance that you need to make that happen. So what is a gift? So tithes, offerings, and gifts. And gifts are pretty self-explanatory. I mean, it could literally be a gift. You know, your next-door neighbor's older lady and her husband just passed away and you know she can't run a lawnmower. I mean, you may pay for a lawn care service for 6 months for her. That's a gift. So you're meeting a need. Everybody got it? You know, I don't want to go on and on about examples about what is a gift. Gifts are precious. You can give a gift to an unsaved person, a coworker that you know does not go to church or anything. You know, you can bring them a gift, can't you? You can bring them a cake, or you can bring them a bottle of hot sauce or something that you're famous for. You know, you could give a gift. You know, that's really important. That's part of the storing up treasures in heaven. Because that gift, that act of kindness, may tell that neighbor, coworker, friend, whoever that doesn't go to church, wow, that was real nice. They thought about me. And then they know that you're a Christian by the love that you show. Amen? Like the gifts, you know, that gift, it could be the gift of your talents or your time. These guys that come in here and practice for the praise team and all that, they're taking time out of their life, right, to come up here and practice. You know, that's an investment. You're practicing to be prepared to worship the Lord and not to entertain you, right? No, they're coming up here to practice on their own time. That's a gift to honor the Lord and praise and worship the Lord. You know, folks come in here different times doing different things in the church, playing a guitar in the praise and worship band, you know, cooking. Oh, man, go on and on of examples. You know, serving in the nursery. It's taking time out to come in and do that. That's an investment. That's part of, there's so many people. If I leave anybody out, please. There's just so many people that do different things that take their time. And then their talents, like playing the guitar, I mentioned, playing the piano, like Tammy. That's she loves to do it, but it is an investment, right? It is a part of her time to be able to, there's commitments and all that kind of stuff that flows along. Those are investments in the kingdom. They're storing up treasures in heaven. Amen? I'm almost finished here. Why is giving back to the Lord so important? Why is that so important? Matthew 6:21 says this. For where your treasure is, everybody say treasure. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Here's that word again, treasure. What is important to you? What do you value? You value this, I was going to bring some money, but I forgot my driver's license. Everything. I'm driving my truck with no license. Convict preacher. I actually take a picture of my driver's license and put it in my phone photos in case I do, you know, forget my wallet occasionally. Amen. So do you value this dollar bill? Do you want more of them? You want to just get more and more of them? Until you got a whole sack full of dollar bills? Until the point where you're hoarding sacks of dollar bills? Or do you value, like I value a dollar bill. You know why? So they can take that dollar bill, and I used to do this actually. My son's like, "Daddy, can I have some money?" "Yeah, sure. Pick up those pine cones outside." Oh, anybody remember that? And they pick up the pine cones, and I'd give them that dollar bill. So the investment continues of them learning the value of working to earn their money, and then they would take that money and go get them a baseball card or something, you know, and just, you know. We used to pay the boys $5 for reading books. I think I shared that before, didn't I? They'd read a little small. I'd pick out a book that was, sometimes it would be a self-help book, or it would be something, a book about, you know, Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, those little goofy little cartoon type books, you know, when they were little. And I would pay them $10 or $20. One of them liked to bust at me. He loved to read. But they would earn that money. What do you treasure? I treasure my wife and my children. I treasure them. They're important to them. They're valuable to me. And I'm sure your family has value to you, right? They're worth something. They're valuable. That's your treasure. So where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. So if your treasure is wrapped up in the gold and silver and stocks and bonds and mutual funds, right? If it's wrapped in those things of the world, again, nothing wrong with that. But if that's your treasure, that's what it's all about. Men, I'll talk to women too, but men, listen to me. If that treasure in your heart is all about you working all the time so that you can live in whatever or drive whatever, if your heart is in that, right? And that's more valuable than you going to your son's soccer game, football game, taking your daughter, missing the recital, the dance thingy with your daughter. Now, occasionally, I understand we have to do that because we're working. But I'm talking about all the time. Cast and Crowns had a song about that years ago. Anybody remember that? God making the sandcastle? Powerful. Where is your treasure? Is it your children? Your family? It's a good question, isn't it? God doesn't want our money. God doesn't need our money. He wants our tithes and our offerings and our gifts to represent our heart. Amen? So where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. He wants us to be able to take that extra money, that abundance, and allow the Holy Spirit to guide us in what we can do. We sponsor a compassion child. He wants you to come in and openly, just with a good, tender, loving part of our heart and give back that tithe to the local church. That's His plan. Amen. Pharisees. We talked about them a lot in the last two or three, four Sundays. The Pharisees had a problem with their spiritual eyes. They were unhealthy. Now don't miss this part, because right here at the end, but this is really important. The Pharisees had a problem with their spiritual eyes. They were unhealthy. They had the disease of greed. So all they could see was fancy things and expensive things, and even the way they dressed, you know, everything about them. They had that disease of greed, had unhealthy spiritual eyes. So Jesus addressed this, and kind of metaphorically, Jesus talks about the spiritual vision in Matthew chapter 6, verse 22 and A. He says, "The eye is the lamp of the body." And the body represents really the whole person. With their eyes, they were coveting wealth. They were coveting wealth And we have to be careful with that too. Of coveting things that maybe God don't even want us to have. It's just all we think about. Is this. I've almost got that bass boat out of my system yet. But this weekend didn't help. And it's the coolest boats out there. You know? Anyway. I'm just trying to be funny. Jesus was talking about the eyes providing light for our bodies so that we can walk around safely. It's kind of a metaphor here, so listen to this. Jesus continues in Matthew chapter 6, verse 22b. He says, "If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light." And he goes on, really, the scripture says, what kind of prayer can help unhealthy eyes? It's in Psalms 119:18. 119:18, this is what it says. "Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law." You see, good spiritual vision means you clearly see what God wants you to see. Good spiritual healthy eyes, when you look out into the world, you're able to see that person that may have a need. And then the Holy Spirit can move within you to try to help that person in need. Those spiritual eyes, you may hear of someone's grandmother, washing machine broke. And you know she just lives on that Social Security check. And with that abundance, the Holy Spirit can move into your heart to go buy her a washing machine. And maybe no one would ever know that you did that. You sure don't want to come back in here Sunday and go, "Hey, guess what I did?" We learned that a couple weeks ago, right? That's ridiculous. But the Lord may move in your heart to go buy that lady a washing machine. Amen. If our eyes are spiritually healthy and we can see how God wants us to really see, especially the needs out there in the world, man. There's so many needs just in our house here. You know, there's needs. It also means you can see the world from God's perspective. That's kind of powerful, really, if you think about that. Lord, let me see. I mean, I learned that one kind of, I don't want to say psychologically or whatever, I learned that one years ago in working with guys, you know, that had problems with drugs and alcohol. Because I initially see, you know, they come in, busted, broke, abusing wives, mean their mom and daddy. And it was hard for me to kind of separate that. Because I'd be like, "Oh, I don't want to work with a guy. I'm going to poke him in the eye." You know? I mean, that's just human nature, right? But the Lord showed me years and years ago that he said, just let me... You know, he says, just let me take over your eyes and let me, you look at them through my eyes. And I did. And it was kind of weird, but I just started, I'd see somebody and some thoughts would come in. I'd say, "Jesus, I'm just going to let you look at them through me." And I began to see not that person. Seriously, I would see their mother, their grandmother. Their children are home waiting on their daddy to come back. Because they love their daddy, you know. I could see right on through to that grandma praying on her knees many a nights to help her precious grandson. Or that mom and daddy's heart was breaking and they were just... Make sense? So I was able to see into that, you know, and see that far. Sometimes it's difficult again. But it's Jesus, not me, right? Bad eyes represent eyes that focus on materialism and selfishness and greed. These are bad, unhealthy eyes. Jesus says in the scripture, "How great is the darkness for those who focus on the world rather than God." And trust me, we all know this. You begin to keep your eyes focused on the world and what the world offers us, it just gets darker and darker. Matthew 6:28, and I'll begin to close this. It says, no one can serve two masters. Either you hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. But you cannot serve both God and money. Some people don't like to hear that. Especially our flesh. If your flesh is all about getting rich, you don't want to hear these kind of sermons. Again, nothing wrong with getting rich and wealthy, whatever, if there's a difference. If God wants us to be rich or wealthy, that's the big difference, I believe. In this life, you'll basically have two choices in regards to this subject. If you have bad spiritual eyesight, you'll choose to live for yourself, and you'll have a tendency to accumulate all the things that you can of the world. The darkness in which you live is great because that person is blind. They're blind to spiritual reality. Or you can have good spiritual eyesight and choose to live for God. And living for God is really all about love, compassion, and forgiveness, meeting people's needs, the reconciliation of people. Amen? Sometimes it looks like it's either all or nothing. And it kind of is when it comes to this subject. If you have good insight and choose Jesus as your master, the following scripture will be true in your life. 1 Corinthians 10:31. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, so, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all in the glory of God. Everything you do. So, here's the last sentence. Ready? If you want to know what God desires for you to do in the area of giving, I recommend from the previous sermon that you fast for a half a day. For most people, fast one day and pray and just drink only liquids that day. Now, this is not a magical formula, but I want to encourage you on the subject of giving, just take a one-day fast and pray and ask the Lord what He wants you to do in regards to tithing, offerings, and gifts. And I'll believe with you that God will show you. He'll show you how much to tithe, where to give your offerings, and then what gifts He wants you to share. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank You, Lord, for this word. It felt deep. It felt like it was meant to be taught. And I know it's true. Lord, help me and help everyone else be obedient to Your word. Lord, we love You and we thank You for all the many blessings You've given us already. We are so grateful. Father, I pray if there's one here today that's never accepted Christ as their personal Savior, during this song of invitation, Lord, I pray they'd come down and talk with me, and I'd be glad to speak with them. Lord, maybe there's someone here who'd like to join our church, or maybe get baptized. This will be a great opportunity. We love You and thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.